Let's see what all we got here. If any of y'all have questions, since I'm going to take questions, go ahead and stick them in. I just feel like a giving queen today. I already answered those. I already answered that. I'm struggling with depression this week, and I'm not sure where to start with thought work. I've started medication, but I haven't dealt with this in a few years, and I feel my brain panicking. So the first thing that I would do is I would say, my brain is panicking because. So if you're doing thought work, if you've done the model, Crystal, what I would do is I would put depression in your C line. Let's see what you're making that mean to cause panic. All right. I would work on that first. Before you work on why you're having depression right now, I would work more on let's feel comfortable about the depression. That's what I've done over the years with my depression is like depression is my circumstance. Like anxiety for some of you is a circumstance. If you have diabetes, something along those lines, that's a circumstance. How do you want to think about it? I always like to think about my depression as I know I can manage this. Like I always know no matter what, I have taught myself every skill that I need in order to manage it. If I need to go get medicine, I know how to do that. I can wait for it to kick in and all this other kind of stuff. But I always like to have a thought about that I can manage it. Usually if you're panicking, you're going to worst case scenarios in your head about where this might go, where this might go, where this might go. And just telling yourself, it's like in the past, it went other places, but that doesn't mean that's where it has to go today. My mother has been really struggling with her weight for years, and it's gotten to the point where my dad is making obvious comments about it. And I can tell it's causing a lot of issues in their relationship. Tried to share the PMP with her, as I've been finding it to be eye-opening, but we don't have the best relationship, and she doesn't really listen when I speak. Do you have any suggestions on how to broach this subject with her? I mean, just doing what you're doing, one of the things that, you know, your mom and your dad's relationship is what it is. And, you know, you're not going to be able to control what your dad says, and you're not going to be able to control what your mom thinks about his opinion. I would leave that all aside. What I would just have, like, I would have mom, like, dad comments on mom's weight. And my thought is, you know, that's for them to handle. That's like, I would just be like, that's none of my business. I mean, guys, I know that sounds cold or whatever, but I would rather you work on your relationship with your mom than trying to control the relationship that goes on between mom and dad. That's a losing battle 1,000 times over because now you're trying to handle two people's thoughts and emotions and behaviors and how they show up for each other. It's just, that's for them to do. It's just not your place. But your place can be to witness all of that and decide how you want to think and feel about it. And that's where you come into play. And so, you know, one of the things that you can be thinking of, you can start with, you know, I'm going to let them figure this out, or I'm going to support my mom the best way I can with her weight. I think when you say, like, we don't have the best relationship and she doesn't really listen when I speak, you can just say, like, I don't need her to listen when I speak. I'm just going to tell her. Like, and this is the thing. So, like, I don't know how many of you know, but my mom has a really big weight problem. I mean, she has had it all her life. It has, she now needs she needs both of her feet reconstructed, partly due to how she was born and weight. She's had double knee replacements. She has one shoulder already done. She needs to get the other shoulder. She just has all these issues. And like more. And I would say 95% of them are weight related. And this is my mom. I mean, I'm the queen. And, you know, I would love for her to change. And I would love for her to listen to my message and just do and add years to her life and stuff. But I came to peace a long time ago that all I really could do was have compassion and understanding that weight loss is hard. And it's hard for her. And just because her daughter's the queen doesn't make it easier for her. I had so much judgment and so much want and so many, like, you know, she should listen to me. And like, I just had drama around all of it. And I finally just decided to have compassion for her and just love her. That doesn't mean I go out and buy her pizzas. But when I go visit, if the subject comes up, I talk very lightly about it. I work it in, but I have no expectations. I don't argue with her. I don't like try to force it on her. I just casually bring it up with zero expectation she'll do anything. It has really improved our relationship so, so much because I can just love her for who she is. It doesn't mean that, like, sometimes when I see her, it doesn't mean my thoughts go to the toilet. Like, you know, she's probably not going to live as long as I would like her to. But I always just remind myself, it's like, and that's a normal thought for a daughter to have. Like, I get into that space rather than into feeling like I need to change her, feeling like I'm judging her space. I reactive eat, then rationalize it. How can I stop rationalizing it? All the reactive eating happens after 4. You need to write down your rationalizations and get them on paper. And then the next day, when you don't like how you showed up, then you go back through the rationalizations and you argue a different truth. Because what's going to happen is, like, if you're just getting spun out in, I eat, I rationalize it, the next day I'm like, how do I stop that? The only way to stop it is to actually do some work on it. Like, you need to have them all written down on a piece of paper. And then the next day or later that night, whenever the, like, oh, I wish I hadn't ate shit comes up, go back through the rationalizations and start writing next to each one. And this is a lie I tell myself. And this is the lie I tell myself. And this will never get me to my weight loss. And start doing that. Then you have to take that piece of paper, and at 4 o'clock, when it's time to eat, you get that shit out and you look at it. You will not want to do that part. You will not want to see what the version of you who has your goal in mind says about all that bullshit you keep saying to yourself. But you read it. It is a change in the habit pattern. And then you decide, are you going to continue to eat? And if you do, you add more rationalizations to that piece of paper. And you do that every single day, and you never quit looking at it. And before 4 o'clock rolls around, eventually you start getting the piece of paper out and say, and these are all the things that I'm likely to think and argue, and this is not happening today. Like, at some point, you have to draw the line in the sand and say, today is the day that I have decided I will not be eating at 4 o'clock. And I will allow it to feel like ass, and I will allow every one of these statements to come through, because I've had so many days now that I have felt like ass the next morning or when I've had to weigh in. And then you start writing that stuff down. Guys, I can't tell you how important it is to write some of this down. And then during your witching hours and during all these times, get it out and read it. Read what the version of you who wants to lose the weight has to say. She's got to have a say. And very often, she can't even get in the door of the conversation in your head because your old stuff is just there. It's ready to go. You've been doing it for so long. The only way she can get her foot in the door is if you read about it. Why the fuck can I work my plan like a boss all day until I get home from work? I understand that I'm tired. I understand it's a deep habit, but why do I continue to grab ass just a few things every damn day? It's like the smart me exits and my fat girl personality takes over. It's habit. This is seriously just your habit. So what you need to do is you need to, like, somehow break the pattern. One, it's like your brain isn't going anywhere. It's coming in there with you. So you're not, if this happens every single day, you have to do something different. You can't just keep, all right, today's the day. Today's the day I'm going to do different, and then just expect everything to change. You're going to have to break these patterns somehow, which means you're probably going to have to, like, all right, if you, let's say you go downhill at, I don't know what time, say 5 o'clock, right? Say today's the day I put a plate on the counter, and everything that I want to grab has to go on the plate first, and at 6 o'clock I get to eat all of it. That's a pattern change. And then, like, at 6 o'clock, if I still want it, I can have anything that's on the plate. That will just change a lot of the conversation going on in your head right there. And then you can notice what you end up choosing and what you end up doing. So you just look for opportunities to be able to do that. The other thing too is if you, like, a lot of you are, like, really good all day long, then what you've got to do is throughout the day, you have to visualize success at night. You have to visualize it going a different way at night. And you got to visualize it not being easy to get there. A lot of you practice like seeing yourself just like, oh, today's the day I don't eat the chips and, you know, the little birdies are by my head and whatnot. No. What's going to happen is you're going to walk in the door and every rationalization is going to come flying in. You're going to think about your day and how tired you are and how you deserve it and all this other stuff. You're going to start grabbing. You need to picture all that happening and you walking away and doing something else, or you need to walk away and sit and write about how, like, this is uncomfortable. This is the new me. This is the version of me that's not going to be eating. And you have to, and one of the important questions to ask yourself is like, okay, if I'm not going to be eating and grab-assing, what am I going to be doing? What's left for me? Because if you're doing all of that to decompress and you haven't figured out a way to actually decompress, you're going to go back to it. You have to make sure you understand it's like, without the food, what's left for me? If the alternative sucks, you're going to choose the food every single time. I'm feeling quite discouraged because I keep not meeting my 3 daily goals or plans. I know that they are probably unreasonable because I write them daily with my best intention in mind, but somehow throughout the day I say fuck it and fail again, so I end up my days feeling like crap. I feel trapped in that cycle and I'm not sure how to get out of it. Make it simpler. You got to make it simpler. Quit making things. You already said they're probably unreasonable. If you think right now they're probably unreasonable, I guarantee the fuck tea they are. Get them simpler. I talked about it earlier in the call. You need to make sure that if you have a long-term habit, guys, that is not getting you to your goal, just because you want to lose weight will never be enough in the face of a strong habit and a tired mind. It will not have the same value. It's like a totally unrealistic expectation. So that is why the goals and the plan have to be dead set. You'll do it. Make it like, oh, this is what I'd rather you do. Dumb it down enough to where it's so easy to execute that when the time comes that you don't even want to do that, it's very easy to negotiate doing it. Right now, we've got to learn how to, the skill of doing things when we don't want to. And the best way I know to teach you guys on how to cultivate that skill is to not set yourself up to do things so incredibly hard. It's going to take every ounce of like strength, willpower, desire, whatever you need in order to get it done. I know next month is self-love. I'm an April baby and wondering how that works. Do I sign up someplace? You will get emails just like no BS. So what happens next month? Every month we have a bonus course that rolls out in Tribe. And then if you're a newbie, you're still going to get your Saturday email. It's going to take you through no BS. If you want to do the bonus work, that will come in your Sunday email that goes out into the entire tribe. You'll have access to all the materials. If you do not want to do self-love next month and you want to focus on no BS, that is completely your option. If you want to do both, that is also your option. If you've been around a long time, you're probably going to be doing the monthly. But everybody just goes through it, so you don't have to sign up anywhere. I'm finding that when I read and listen to what others are doing, I get off of my own shit. My plan was to eat 4 crackers. I heard another lady eating 15, and then I decided to eat 8. Coaching is supposed to help us all, right? Should I stay away from the calls for now until I get all my stuff dialed in? No, you can listen to the calls, but this is what you need to be doing. When you listen to the calls, apply what's going to work for you. And then watch your brain negotiate like, oh, well, if she's going to eat 15, I'll eat 8. If you say you're going to eat 4, guess what? You now have to work on eating 4 crackers. I don't give a damn who's eating what. If I told you right now, like, guess what I have for lunch, y'all? It's a turd. I've decided to pick up the habit of eating dog turds that I find on a walk. Would you get distracted and be like, shit, let's put dog turds on the plan? If the answer is no, then you do the same thing when you hear somebody else is putting crackers on their plan. What you need to realize is that you need to be listening for what's going to work for you and not allowing it to distract you. And that is a skill that you need to cultivate. I wouldn't ignore the calls. I would get better at sitting around and learning how to cultivate the information that you need and not allowing for distraction. That's a key skill right there. Not getting distracted by what other people are doing. getting very focused on when, like, oh yeah, that might actually work for me. But don't just eat more because somebody else is. Like, if you say you're going to do 4, you do 4. And you say, like, I'm glad she can do 15. That's amazing. How can I delicately ask for an accountability partner who has some experience? I have had 2 Marco Polo groups and we were all new to the whole experience. So we were just treading water for a while and then we gave up. I would just go into the Facebook group and say, I'm looking for a Marco Polo group with people who have experience and see if you can find one. That, I mean, I don't think you have to delicately ask that. I think you just need to say, guys, we have, like, here in the tribe, none of us are that delicate. Let's just put it that way. What I would do is I would just write exactly what you want and just be like, I'm new. I'm looking for some people who are experienced. I want a go-getter group. I want to meet this many times. I want to make sure, and I want people who are going to be challenging each other. Whatever it is, like whatever it is you're looking for, that's what you want to do. And here's the other thing. If you're in a group and there aren't go-getters, you be the one. You be the one trying to wrangle up the gang. Don't sit around and wait for them to, like, do it for you. Use it as a practice ground to, you know, to, like, come up with ideas and stuff. There's probably newbies who would like to do some stuff like that. But I'm going to tell you guys, when it comes to accountability groups, like for me personally, I've gone through so many for all kinds of different things. It takes a while to find your groove. And then eventually you find that one that makes that it all works. So don't feel bad if they don't work out the first, like, 5 times. Just keep looking. It's so much easier for me to not touch what I like to eat than to stop. I don't understand that. After one piece of it, talking about something small here, like a piece of chocolate or pasta, to not touch what I like to eat than to say stop after one piece of it. I'm not really sure what that means. I don't think I totally understand it. If it's easier to not touch it, then just don't touch it. Love the video you posted while driving today. One major thought I'm realizing I have that has led to my last 2 months maintaining instead of losing weight is I really like where my body is right now. And I counter this with how great it makes me feel. But it's also allowed little quits and less commitment. What are some level up thoughts for this? Yeah, this is perfect because this is one of those things where you have a thought that's like sounds good. I love where my body is right now. Like it feels amazing. Here's the level up thought. And I can't wait to see how much more I love it when I lose the next 10. Like that's, you just need to add that bumper onto the end of it. It's not that you're stalled because it's like you love your body so much that stalls you. It's the thought that doesn't drive the action. Like, you know what drives action? Something that gets something that gets you working on determination, on motivation, on action, on doing things. Right now, it's like you have an amazing thought about your body, but it's not generating action. So it's like, let's keep our amazing body thought. Let's not fuck with that, but let's add to the back end. And I'm not done yet. I want to embrace realistic planning by including stuff I cheat with, like chocolate in the plan. That's not cheating. Never, Yvonne, never call it cheating ever again. Here's the thing. You need to, like, listen to me when I say this. We do not cheat on ourselves with food. If you're not going to cheat on your husband, you're not going to cheat on yourself. Like, I want you guys to be married to you. If you have chocolate, it's fine. Plan for it. Just plan for it. When I eat it, it seems to open the floodgates. It's because you think that it's wrong. Like, here's the thing. When you're cheating, you are doing something wrong. If you label foods, guys, this is important for all of you. If you label foods good and bad, then when you have the bad ones, then you're bad. And then you associate that, like, oh my gosh, I shouldn't be eating things like this. Then you're going to want to overeat because you're going to make a negotiation with yourself that you're not going to have this anymore. There are no good and bad foods. There are foods that we plan and then we have them and we know in our back pocket anytime we get to plan them. And then you practice the control part. You won't feel like it's so hard to control yourself when it's no longer a bad thing. Every person in this tribe that has lost a lot of weight have ate chocolate and nachos. They've probably had the wine. They've done all the things. You can too. The difference is that we don't think of those as bad things. We just think of them as food. And there are foods that help us lose our weight, and there's foods that we eat occasionally that will still help us lose our weight. Can you please talk more about how to handle reactive eating? It's just like, it's the realistic plan. Most of you are not planning in a way that, like, reactive eating means I had a bad day, or somebody said something shitty to me, I'm going to eat. Somebody gave me a donut, it's free, I'm going to eat it. That's reactive eating. Reactive eating just means that I'm eating, like, I'm just eating because it's there, eating because I have a feeling, or eating because of something. And what we want to do is we want to get to where we're really just planning every single day. We just know what we're going to eat. We're going to establish the normal relationship with food. There's no more reactive eating. Kathy mentioned the self-love activity course. That's next month, Stacy. If your self-esteem is in the toilet, it will help. What are your thoughts about throwing away food or leaving bites behind when you eat what you prepare and you can just make a smaller plate? I think if you make a smaller plate, guys, it's fine. The whole goal of the hunger scale challenge and stuff is for a lot of us, we aren't making small, like we are not in the habit of serving ourselves less. We're not in the habit of putting away what we don't want. We're not in the habit of just stopping at our two. The hunger scale challenge is to force you into doing dead stop things to see what comes up for you. So if you're already in the habit of like, I've already like reduced my plate portions and I've already done these things, keep doing that. I was on with you last week talking about family relationships. I just want you to know I had to be with all of them again last weekend and it rocked. Good. I did not allow myself to go down the negative thinking train. However, I'm realizing I eat to stuff down my emotions. I'm sure you've talked on this. Please point me to the right lessons or podcast. If you will, Betsy, if you're still on, will you see if you can post one in the chat? I tell you what, Nicole, when we do the replay of this Q&A, Betsy will find a resource for you and put it in the show notes on the video replay. All right, I'm going to do two more and then I'm going to get off of here. I have two different medical issues that limit what I can eat. I'm pretty pissed about this because healthy stuff that I was planning on eating because it was food I was good with sticking to plan. Now that I shouldn't eat some of that food due to developing things, I can't really read that. Y'all know me, I'm not good with the words. I have a lot of fuck it moments and eat it anyway, even if it upsets my stomach or is inflammatory to my joints. How do I get past this anger? Well, here's the thing. You can quit being angry because obviously you can eat them. You're making the choice to eat it even if it's totally against your body. Even if you're like, screw you, body. I'm going to harm you. I'm going to do all the things to you. Here we go. My taste buds are way more important than your long-term health and everything that's good for you. I just want you to recognize that you're angry for no reason. You have been told there are foods that harm your body. You have the choice to eat them or not. There's no anger in that. You get to decide, do I harm my body or not? You can be, if you want to be angry, then this is what's going to happen. Or you can just be, I'm glad to know this. I'm sure I can find other foods. Or you can just be like, this is what I'm dealing with right now. The most important thing is to get this under control. It's normal for us to feel like it's no different than like our girls that get pre-diabetes and then they can't eat like any sugar and flour at all. All those foods are just, you know, they shouldn't eat them. They can either be angry about it or they can solve their damn problems. I always like to just be like, I ain't got time for anger over this. It's food. I'm not going to sit around and get angry. The reason why you're getting angry is because you've made it mean that these particular foods are healthy and that your weight loss is residing on. This was what was going to make my weight loss easy. Like, no, it was not going to make your weight loss easy. I guarantee you, even with those foods, you would have had a bitch fit about something. We all do. So just decide they were never going to make my weight loss easy. I was always going to have to do some kind of work. And now I'm going to do all that same work without these foods. and I'm going to prioritize my body. And that's what I'm going to be doing. Can you please explain the difference between an exception meal and meals on a realistic plan? An exception meal is like literally one of those meals that you plan that you're not going to always plan. It's just like a lot of times in the beginning when we're doing realistic plans, exception foods are in there. Right now, they're like your normal foods that you're going to include. But an exception meal is like, you know, if you're going to go out to eat and you're going to have nachos and you probably going to have dessert or something like that. An exception meal is more like an experience, an event. But like, you know, for me, there are just some foods that some of you would never put on your normal like food plan. And I keep them on my protocol. Like a lot of you, for some reason, will not eat my Kodiak pancakes. And I eat them every morning. I love my Kodiak pancakes. But for a lot of you, you just think that Kodiak pancakes is like, you know, that's pancakes. I'm not going to lose weight on pancakes. And so y'all don't plan them. Like I love, I still love ice cream. I do that little halo top ice cream. It's part of my normal plan. I don't make that be an exception meal. Like, and French fries for me are part of my normal plan. I don't always make them an exception. Sometimes we'll go out to eat. I'll get a salad and fries, especially if it's one of those days where it's like, I just wasn't really hungry and I end up blowing through a meal or something. We'll go out to eat at night. And also like, I'll have fries and I'll eat a few. I won't eat all of them. I'll eat to my two. I think the thing is like, I want you guys to take a little pressure off of yourselves. What I'm hearing and experiencing from a lot of you is this overthinking of it all. And then when you're overthinking it, you're putting this pressure on yourself and then you're not doing a lot of it. Everything I teach you comes down to one basic thing. I want you to think through your food. That's it. If you are thinking while you're eating and listening to your body and just being like, you know, I'm just not going to overeat anymore. Right now, I'm not even going to worry about what foods I put on the plan. I'm not even going to worry about all of that. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start with the not overeating part. It's all about, can I get you to be conscious of what's going in and no more fuck it eats and no more eating because it's a bad day and no more eating because it's 4 o'clock or it's 8 o'clock or because it's free. It's all about like this process. Like sometimes let me just shock all the fuck out of you. Sometimes I make my 24-hour plan and I don't follow it either. I am just like all of you, but I have the core habit down. Which is every time I'm eating and doing, I'm always thinking about it. I don't turn my brain off about it. I journal the next day. I'm willing to show up for a recovery worksheet. I'm always going to be like, the best friend I'll ever have is the shit that I write about my food. It's going to add life to my year or years to my life. It's going to make my relationship with food so much easier when I just understand it and I listen to it and I talk to it. I think of like my food journal, guys. I literally think of it like my marriage. A marriage is so much easier when there's a communication line, when you're talking to each other, when you're honest with each other, when you're sharing with each other, when you're not afraid to look at your partner's ugly parts and you're not afraid to look at your ugly parts too. That is how, like, I know that's how Chris and I's marriage is so strong because our lines of communication are so wide open all the time. And I think of the same thing with my food. My food relationship got so much better and easier, and I started loving it and myself when I just was like, here we are. We're being honest. I'm not afraid to be honest about it anymore. I invite it in because I don't shame myself about it anymore. I don't look down on myself about it. I don't fear that something terrible is going to happen. I know the more aware I am and the more I think about it and the more honest I am about it, the better I get with it. It's when I'm not doing those things and I'm tuning out and I'm lying to myself when the scale goes up every single time. And with that, I'm going to say goodbye. We've been on this call for an hour and a half. For all of you who stuck around with me, I appreciate it. I know I tend to get long-winded. I'm sorry. But I wanted to get through some of the Q&A since they did pop up here and just give you guys a little bonus love. Y'all have a good, good day. And I will see you guys tomorrow morning on Q&A over in Facebook. Bye, y'all.